Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
The lesson that I have in mind, I hope and intend that it will enable us to better understand the Bible when we study it. Now, it's very important that we not only read the Scriptures, but that we comprehend and understand what the Scriptures teach. And if we read it and study it and are still left in a state of confusion, then we're not going to be motivated and provoked to do the things that we ought to do that are pleasing in the sight of God or enable us to partake of the blessings that God offers to us. I want to talk to you this morning why the law of Moses had to cease. Now, the law of Moses was a part of God's plan in bringing about salvation of man through Jesus Christ. And that subject needs to be rightly understood. We need to know its place in God's system for saving man. And a misunderstanding of the place of the law of Moses has led to a great deal of confusion. That misunderstanding has caused people to adopt false ideas and false doctrines. Many practices in religion today, though we live under the authority of Christ, are being done as people erroneously refer back to things of the old Mosaic law. Sometimes we hear people trying to justify the use of mechanical instruments of music on things of the Old Testament, the old law. People today will worship and observe in some fashion the Sabbath day, relying upon the old law. People observe special holy days and such things as that, relying again on the old law. They have a special priest class and a clergy class, relying upon the things of the old law. They have even distorted and misrepresented and misunderstood what man must do to come in contact with the saving blood of Christ, denying the necessity of such things as baptism, going back to things that occurred under the old law. Now, dear friend, the law of Moses is no longer in effect, is no longer applicable to any man. Nobody living today will be answerable or judged by the law of Moses. We shall be judged by the words and the teachings by the authority of Jesus Christ, John 12:48. God is going to judge the world, but judge the world by that man whom He hath ordained, Acts 17:31, and He identified that man as the resurrected Christ. So why did the law of Moses have to cease? Now, when we believe the inspired record of the New Covenant, of the New Testament, then we won't have any problem realizing that it did not continue. And if the law of Moses had not ceased, why, the law of Christ could never have become effective. Now, in order to understand this, we need to understand some of the things about the law of Moses. And the first thing that we need to comprehend is, to whom was this law given? The law of Moses, the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, was given to the Israelite nation exclusively. It was given to the Jewish people. It was never given to the Gentiles. It was never given to everybody. Even when it was in effect, it was in effect only to those to whom it was given, which is the Jewish people. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1, Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears today, that ye may learn them and keep them and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb, that's the area of Sinai, and the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. The law of Moses was not applicable to those who lived prior to the time of the giving of the law of Mount Sinai, nor was the law of Moses ever given universally to all people. The law of Moses was given to the Jewish people. Well, why was it ever given? If it had to cease, why did God ever give it? Well, Paul raises and answers this question specifically for us in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. He raises the question, Wherefore then serveth the law? What was its purpose? Why was it given? He goes on to say it was added because of transgression. Transgression is sin. 1 John 3:4. It was given because it defined sin. It was given to show what sin is. Indeed, even the consequences of sin. The law of Moses was given to serve as a guide, a spiritual religious guide for this special nation of Israel, through which nation was to come the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. It was given as the rule by which their lives were to be regulated. He called it a schoolmaster, that which was a custodian for a time, a caretaker for a time, for the time of the Israelite people until the coming of the Messiah. It was given there to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. The law of Moses gives us types, pictures, representations, forecasts of things that would describe the religion of Jesus Christ, to which God now expects us all to be followers. It was given in order to show that Christ is the Savior that He promised. It was given to show that Christ indeed did come of God, and He fulfilled the prophecies and the promises that had been given all the way back in the patriarchal age to Abraham, and indeed reemphasized throughout the Mosaic period. It was to be the guiding light for the Israelite people until the time of Jesus Christ. As He says in verse 19, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Now in Galatians 3 and verse 16, Paul identified that seed of Abraham, that descendant of Abraham, which was later also the seed of David. That seed that should come is Jesus the Christ. So the law of Moses was not to go beyond Christ. It was until Christ would come. Now, when we do not recognize these limitations as to whom it was given and as to how long it was to be in effect, we are obviously going to become spiritually muddled and confused about what is applicable to us and that to which we are amenable and answerable before God. More specifically, the law of Moses ended at the cross of Jesus Christ. When Christ was on the cross and said, "It is finished," among the things was finished was His personal ministry, was His work and His sacrifice for the salvation of man from their sins. It was the end of the dominion of Satan, because now forgiveness was available. But it was also the termination of the rule and reign of the law of Moses. Paul wrote, "Blotting out the handwriting of or contained in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way." How? Nailing it to the cross. Now Christ said in Matthew 5 and verse 17, He didn't come to destroy the law. He didn't come to destroy the prophets. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He didn't destroy it, because if He had destroyed it, there wouldn't be anything there to fulfill. He fulfilled it, not destroying it. How did He fulfill it? By doing the things that the law and the prophets had said were going to come to pass. And when He accomplished the purpose for which the law of Moses was given, until the time of the coming of the Messiah, then it was nailed to the cross and it was taken out of the way. It had been a middle wall of partition between the Jew, God's chosen people during that era, and the Gentile. And now that middle wall of partition is dissolved, it's taken down, it's destroyed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and all come to God now by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's another matter that a lot of people do not understand sufficiently, and I hope that we can shed some light upon this today. The taking away of the law of Moses included the Ten Commandments. Now, that's a rather shocking statement to some people to hear someone say, "We do not live accountable to the Ten Commandments," but that's what the Bible teaches. That is, in fact, the law, the Ten Commandments having been given by and through Moses. Some make a terrible biblical error in trying to divide the law of Moses between what they call ceremonial law and moral law. Now, I know that there are certain ceremonies under that law and there are certain morals under that law, but the Bible never breaks it in part like that. And some contend that only the ceremonial part of the law has been taken out of the way and the moral law continues to abide. Friend, that's just not so. All of the law of Moses was taken out of the way, of which the Ten Commandments was the preamble and was the beginning of it. Now, I know that's so because of the teaching of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. In Romans 7, beginning with verse 1, Paul wrote this. Listen closely. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath her husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Paul here was not primarily teaching concerning marriage, though he most certainly did. But he was using marriage to illustrate concerning the relationship of the law of Moses to the law of Jesus Christ. In verse 4 he says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law, that's the law of Moses, dead means separated, you're separated from the law of Moses, by the body of Christ. When Christ's body was crucified on the cross, we're separated, we're dead to that law. That ye should be married to another. To whom are we now to be married and accountable? Even to him who is raised from the dead. Well, we know who that is. That we should bring forth fruit unto Christ. He goes on down further and he says in verse 6, but now are we delivered from the law of Moses. That being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, the law of Moses is as a husband who has died. And the wife being no longer then bound to a husband who has died, we are no longer bound to the law of Moses. Well, what did that law of Moses include? From what are we delivered? Notice verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Oh, God forbid. No, it wasn't sinful. It just didn't accomplish the salvation of man. God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law. See, the law defines sin. You wouldn't know what sin was unless it's defined. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Well, that's the tenth of the Ten Commandments. So I know that when Paul's talking about the law from which we are delivered, it also includes the Ten Commandments. Now, why is that important? It's important because a lot of people are mixed up and twisted up in thinking that if you follow the Ten Commandments, why, you're going to be pleasing in the sight of God. Friend, you can't live perfectly under the law of Moses. You can't live the Ten Commandments perfectly, and even if you did, that's not the way God saves man anyhow. You cannot be saved by simply living according to the Ten Commandments. Well, now let's look as to why this law had to cease. It had to cease because of the very nature of the law of Moses and how it is different from the law of Christ. Listen closely. The law of Moses dealt, for the most part, very few exceptions, it dealt with overt acts, things people did. It condemned those overt acts of sinning. There were, with very few exceptions, any concern under the law of Moses about the matters of the heart, about the intentions behind those acts, the purposes and the motives behind those acts. But that's quite different from the law of Jesus Christ. The law of Christ is not only concerned with what we do, the acts that we perform, but also what is behind those deeds that we perform. The Lord is concerned with first winning our hearts. And when our hearts are right, our hearts will govern our lives and our behavior will be right. The law of Moses either approved or disapproved acts. But the law of Jesus Christ not only is concerned about the deeds done, what's behind those deeds. For instance, the law of Moses as well as the law of Christ says, thou shalt not kill. That is to take innocent human life. That's murder. That's what it literally means. Thou shalt not murder. But the law of Christ goes a step beyond what the law of Moses taught, in that it taught not only it's wrong to murder, it's wrong even to hate, out of which grows the act of murder. The law of Moses, for instance, said, thou shalt not commit adultery, as does the law of Jesus Christ. But the law of Christ goes one step further. You're not even to lust after another. Do you see how it deals with the matters of the heart? The law of Christ expands. The law of Christ goes deeper than. The law of Christ is superior to the law of Moses. Therefore, the law of Moses had to be taken out of the way. You couldn't possibly have two laws here, both of them being superior. In our state, we have a constitution. We've had several constitutions in our state history. But one has to displace and replace the other. We cannot possibly live under two state constitutions at the same time. One or the other must take superiority and precedence over the other. So it is with the law of Moses and the law of Christ. But again, it had to cease because Christ was intended to be our high priest. Under the system of Jesus Christ, He is our intermediator, He is our intercessor between us and God. Under the law of Moses, those of the house of Aaron and of the tribe of Levi were to be priests. Christ was of the tribe of Judah. Christ could not legally and rightfully ever be a priest under the old Mosaic system. If Christ was going to become a priest after the order of Melchizedek, as the book of Hebrews teaches that He was intended to do, being both king and priest at the same time, there had to be, Hebrews chapter 7, a change of the law. The old law says the Levitical tribe would be the priest. Well, Christ could never be priest so long as that law was in effect. It had to be taken out of the way because it teaches that Jesus Christ is high priest forever, and all who are Christians are priests. There is no special priesthood class in New Testament Christianity, as some religions have it. They have their special priest, and the rest of the people are called laity. You don't read about clergy, laity, and priesthood and such as that in the New Testament Christianity. Christ is the high priest, and all Christians, they are there to be a kingdom of priests. But there had to be a change of law because before that could become effective. And so the law of Moses had to cease. Furthermore, friend, the law of Moses did not promise eternal life. Now, God promised through Abraham that through his seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. That could never be fulfilled under the law of Moses because, as we've already learned, the law of Moses was exclusively to the Israelite nation. Furthermore, we've learned that Christ is that seed. And in order to obtain the blessings that God offers through the seed of Abraham, which is Jesus Christ, I must turn to a different system. I must find a different law than that law that was exclusive to just that one people, that didn't even offer eternal salvation anyway. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 teaches us all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Well, what are some of our spiritual blessings? Well, there's the forgiveness of sins. And there's the privilege of prayer. And there is God's protection and providence. And there's the hope of eternal salvation. Those things are a spiritual nature. Where are they to be found? They're not to be found under the old Mosaic law. The old Mosaic law was not against the promises, but it was not the fulfillment of those promises. Christ and His system was the fulfillment of those promises. And our inheritance in heaven is not of the law. Galatians 3 and verse 18. That belongs to those who are in Christ. We can term this another way, this last point, that the law of Moses had to cease because it could not bring perfection. That is, maturity and wholeness and salvation. And how glad we can be today that we now live under a will by which we can be made perfect or acceptable before God. Let me try to illustrate the great joy and the benefit of the system of Christ in contrast to the system of Moses. Let's suppose that you were ill. You had an illness that you were nigh unto death. And that medical science was able to discover something that would postpone your death. But it would postpone it only for 1 year. And after that, you were in the same straits and conditions that you were before. And you had to keep taking that medicine year by year in order to perpetuate your life. Well, you would be glad for that, I suppose. But then comes the announcement. There is a remedy that you can take but one time, and it will suffice from then on. And you will be forever delivered from your disease. Friend, the people under the law of Moses, in order to be rid of sins, had to sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats and animals to roll their sins forward, and the priest would go in and do this year by year by year. But, as the book of Hebrews teaches us, Christ died once. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all time. There is no need for nor allowance of any other sacrifice for the sins of man than the all-sufficient sacrifice of the blood of the Son of God. Now, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. But the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. It was by His own blood that He obtained eternal redemption for us. And if it had not been for the ending of this old Mosaic system, we never would have had that remedy for sin that God intended by and through Christ. Christ was offered once, and that was adequate and necessary and sufficient for the salvation of all people, both before and after the cross. But I want you to get this last point that I'm going to make. The law of Moses had to cease because there's another law in existence. I speak not of just the law of Christ and the law of Moses. There's another law that exists, of which the Bible speaks. And the law of Moses had to end because of this law. And what is that law? Romans chapter 8 and verse 2 tells us about the law of sin and death. And what is the law of sin and death? It explains itself. You sin, you die. You transgress God's will, you separate yourself from God. Death, separation, you die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel wrote, Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. Paul wrote, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Here is a law. Sin, death. There's this law of sin and death. Well then, what does this have to do with why the law of Moses had to cease? Friend, it was because the law of Moses would not deliver us and free us from the law of sin and death. There had to be another law to do that. And that other law is the law of Jesus Christ. Listen as Paul writes. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law of Moses could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. God never intended to use the law of Moses as the remedy for the sins of man. But man needs to be, must be, delivered from his sins. Therefore, there had to be another law, the gospel law of Christ. And therefore, this old law of Moses that had its purposes, that had its function, that had its place for a specific people, for a specific time, it was to be temporal in nature, finally accomplishing its purposes when Christ came, being taken out of the way, being nailed to the cross. It is no longer operative, if you please, upon anybody, not even those to whom it was originally given. It's not, nobody is amenable to it. We're not bound by it. But it would not accomplish what we need. We need salvation from sin. And that is accomplished only by the law of Jesus Christ. We need to remember this point because of false teachers even among us today who are running around the country saying we are free from all law. That is absurd, foolish, wrong, unbiblical, and sinful to so teach. Yes, we're free from the law of Moses. You're not even free from the law of gravity. If you don't believe it, just stand on top of the bench and fall backwards and see whether that law still works. You're not free from all law. That's the most foolish thing anybody ever said in all their lives. There's just all kinds of law to which you're accountable. And you're not free from all spiritual law. We are free from the law of Moses. But we're still bound by the law of Jesus Christ. There's no conflict between the grace of God and the law of God. God, by His grace, offers us salvation, and He has given us in His law those conditions that we meet whereby we come and partake of the grace that God offers us. And we today, therefore, live under the law of Christ, not under the law of Moses. And for these reasons that I have tried to very hurriedly explain to you, the law of Moses, though from God, has accomplished what God wanted it to accomplish. It was God's intent from the beginning that it be taken out of the way. And it has been taken out of the way. And thanks be to God, we now live under what James refers to as that perfect law of liberty. That which indeed truly makes us free. It's the truth of Christ. Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. The Lord's truth is that perfect law of liberty. That's the reason when we come to determine how to be saved, we don't go back to the law of Moses. How to worship, we don't go back to the law of Moses. What about morals? We don't go back to the law of Moses. The law of Moses teaches us many principles. The law of Moses teaches us the necessity of faith. It teaches us the necessity of morality. It teaches us the necessity of obedience. It teaches us of the glory of God. It teaches us of the promises of God. It teaches us of the warnings of God. It teaches us so many things. But we are going to give answer to God in judgment someday, every one of us, but according to the law of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that other law has been taken out of the way. It had to be taken out of the way in order to make room for the law of Christ. Hebrews tells us, our Lord said, He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. Therefore, my dear beloved listener, if you would be saved and enjoy the glory of God, you must come to God through Christ, and there is no other. And we would plead with you to simply humbly submit yourselves to the will and the law of Jesus Christ, and to know the joy of being a child of God and salvation, and with the hope of heaven in your heart. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ and will repent of your sins, if you will confess your faith in Him and be baptized into Him, that's God's plan for you, reaching the saving blood of Christ, and you rise to walk in newness of life, and you live according to the law of Jesus Christ, you be found faithful unto the Lord in His body, the church, throughout the remaining days of your life, you have God's own word. In Christ's law, heaven's going to be your home. And that's the goal of us all, is it not?